Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Rosecast, the number one Bachelor in Paradise recap podcast hosted by a male interracial best friend duo. AB, this is not it. There's another episode.
Yeah, I know.
What are your thoughts about that? You excited?
Listen, this has been a great season. I've said it a couple times. It's one of the best seasons. It is the best Bachelor in Paradise season I've watched. But don't push it.
Yeah.
With these extra episodes, don't push it. This is a summer thing. We're creeping into fall here, Rim.
Isn't that the truth? You know,
come on now.
A lot of people say when August comes around, they just give up on summer, which I think is absurd and premature.
That's too much. Yeah, that's too much.
But
September?
September is like, come on. We're looking at 2 weeks after Labor Day here.
It's no longer paradise.
Yeah.
It's fall.
Foliage should not be a topic of discussion while Bachelor in Paradise is still on. Push it up if you want to. And basically, don't just spring this on us. Like, this was sprung on us. End the episode on Monday, who's like, only two more episodes left. And to say only when we were all expecting one is a bit misleading, Chris Harrison. Anyway, that said, I'm excited for it. You mentioned you think this is the best season ever. Some disagreement in the mailbag. Stay tuned for the end of the season, end of the episode. All right, let's kick this off. Monday's episode starts off. Dean's back from the future, clean shaven Dean, and he wants to see if Kaylin wants to go for a ride, babe. Want to hop in the back and go for a ride, see where life takes us? Connor, of course, watching helplessly, pretending to be confident.
Yeah, this is false confidence here. Connor still, for some reason, thinks he has a shot here. I'm very confused by why you think that.
He's like, I'm not worried at all. He's looking around like, oh, yeah, I got this in the bag. If Kaylin were going to say no to Dean, she probably would have not. She would have shut him down like,
it would have been an instant no.
If she were going to say no, she would have said
you,
no.
Fuck you, Dean, is what she would have said right away and wouldn't have went over even with him.
No, she's... Oh, welcoming this private conversation on
the
stage.
The only thing
here
going through her mind is how is she going to let Connor down? She's trying to figure that out. I don't think there was any point where she was actually considering not going with Dean.
So Dean and Kaylin are talking and she asks if she can go talk to Connor. That's when I knew it was in the bag for sure for Dean because it was like, hey, I got, all right. She was like, I got to go give Connor a heads up. Do you mind if I go give Connor a heads up?
You stay here.
On the way back, everyone on the beach acted like Dean showed up to demand full custody of their children or something. Like him being there was some awful burden that Kaylin had to endure. Like she left 3 days ago. She was bummed about it. He's backed. Maybe she'll be happy about it. Like, let's not act like Dean's a monster just for being alive on the beach, my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Dean did some bad things in the past, but it's not really, it wasn't to any of these people, for one, and...
Well, Christina.
Except Christina, she's another story. I mean, Dean's fine. I'm okay with Dean. He just didn't know what he wanted. I don't think he still does.
Oh,
but
no.
It's not...
This isn't going to end well. Let's just put that on the record.
No,
this
I mean,
is not
obviously
well.
It's not going to end well, but hey... Dean shows up. He's cute. You forget about how cute Dean is without his mustache.
Golly,
and every, wow, he's a cutie patootie, Rim.
Yeah, he's a babe. What did you make of Connor and Kaylin's conversation?
Connor tells Kaylin he doesn't want her to leave. Well, okay, obviously.
Sure.
Connor reminds her, this is when he starts backpedaling a little bit. I think he's getting a little panicked. It's time to throw the Hail Mary to try to get her to stay, which is reminding her about how bad of a guy Dean is. Even
reminding
though Connor
her,
hasn't met
concocted.
Dean.
Yeah, he hasn't met him, and he's like concocting things. He said, listen to what he said. He said, he put you down and made you feel horrible on your birthday. That is not...
No,
I don't remember that.
He definitely didn't put her down. What he did wasn't okay for a birthday. I think we both agreed would have preferred him to do it the next morning after the birthday, but he didn't do it. He didn't put her down. And this was a smear campaign by Connor.
That's exactly what it was.
That's all this was. He's trying to, he has to make a big time push to get her to stay, and he doesn't have any other legs to stand on.
The fact that Connor knows even a little bit about what just happened between Dean and Kaylin means Kaylin told him, which means they've talked a lot about Dean in the last 2 days that they've known each other. So it's just not nothing's really adding up in Connor's favor here. And then when he goes back to the crew, they're like, what'd you guys talk about? What'd she say?
I'm feeling pretty good.
she alluded to wanting to stay. If she didn't tell you for sure, then she's leaving.
She's going to have another conversation with Dean. If she didn't tell you that she's going to stay and she's going to go tell Dean she says no, then she's obviously staying. The one thing Connor said that I liked, she said, he's just here with a grand gesture. What happens when you get back home? Yeah. That maybe made her think a little bit. She was tearing up a little bit. This is a grand gesture from Dean here. He's still... And maybe we'll talk about this more. He still's not giving her any clue into what life will be like outside of this when we leave. So I was with Connor there.
The logistics of the van are the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Like, Kaylin living in a van is just hard to imagine. I'm sorry. It just is. Anyway, Kaylin's back with Dean. Really wrestling with this. Or pretending to, at least. And she agrees to leave with Dean. Mm-hmm. And this news is delivered by way of a climactic kiss on the daybed in front of everyone. Which,
it's beautiful.
It was a great moment, but holy smokes, can you imagine being Connor? Like waiting to learn your fate, and that's how you find out.
That's how I know she's going with Dean, is they have an extended makeout session.
It was all over each other. It wasn't just a kiss, they'd be there rolling around in the daybed, and Connor's
this is a movie kiss. From a rom-com. That's all that was.
And they ride off into a sunset. Sunset, back of a Ford Explorer. I think they're a real couple.
Now, Kaylin does talk to Connor again.
I skipped that part, but go ahead.
Kaylin comes to Connor and tell him she needs to go. I think I need to go. I'm really sorry. Okay, I want to make note of that, Rim. I'm really sorry to do this to you. Connor handles it pretty well. But she says her heart's pulling her towards Dean. I think Connor handled it fine. He didn't throw a fit with her. I mean, there's nothing he could do. He sat there and it was over.
Why did you call out the sorry like that?
Well, later in the episode, Connor makes it sound like Kaylin didn't even... One of the reasons he's so upset is because Kaylin didn't say...
Don't tell me.
Okay, you're going to have to surprise me with that.
Whoa.
Listen, make note of what I said there. Kaylin said, make note, stay tuned. Kaylin said,
made the note.
I'm really sorry. Okay.
Okay. Wow. You're blindsiding me with that call out. Now let's talk about the next hour of this episode, which it should be noted was very boring. Would you agree or disagree? I was watching this episode. The next hour of this was like, I said out loud, this is boring. I'm bored.
I'd like to point one more thing out with Kaylin and Dean, Rim.
Okay.
Kaylin accepts his proposal that they're going to leave. Kaylin specifically asked Dean, like, okay, what's next?
Literally, where are we going?
Where are we going? Like, what's the next step? And Dean doesn't give her a good enough answer. And I thought Dean kind of beat around the bush on what they're going to do. I thought had that been me, Kaylin, making this decision over Connor or Dean, before I say yes to Dean, I need a firm, you know, at least
region 14 of the country
day plan. I need a 14-day plan. Not a five. I don't need a 5-year plan from you, Dean. Oh, but no. Give me a 14-day plan of what we're going to be doing.
Where are we getting our meals
from? Where am I
from?
Going? How am I going to get home? I have a house. Where am I going? Where do I go after this? I have a job too. Like, what's going on?
Dean's life is like the when Michael Scott planned that 5K run for the cure for rabies, and he mapped out this course, and it's just 5 kilometers away, and there's no way of getting it. It's not a circle. Yeah. So like Dean's life is like, we might end up in Montana, and then that's it. Like you got to find your way back to Los Angeles. Okay, like I said, the next hour, fly through it. Katie has some reservations about Chris. Just needs a little boost of confidence that he's the right guy. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you know it, a date card shows up right then.
This episode in particular, all you really had to do was go on camera and ask for a date, and you would get a date card. That happened multiple times.
We will discuss whether or not you could consider all of these actual dates based on the activities.
I'll answer that now. I'd go hard no. These are not dates. One I don't see what's particular. Different between them going to a day bed or going on these dates.
In some cases, the dates were worse for talking. Like you had less interaction with the person than you would at the bar in front of Wells. Connor teared up a little bit at the nighttime. The main comforter, the main male comforter, Blake, moseys on over.
I'm starting to wonder if this whole Blake, these moments with Blake are genuine, or if he's just like got his eyes open real wide looking around the beach for anyone
somebody
having
crying?
A hard time. Yes, yeah, anybody crying? Let me get over there. Let me do some safe face on my reputation by being the sounding board for all these people having a hard time. I mean, it's happened like 3 or 4 times where Blake shows up and he's the one there when they're crying. I'm starting to not believe it.
I love that you're over here with me in the little bit of conspiracy corner on this stuff.
Yeah.
Shoulder for brokenhearted dudes to cry on is a good brand transition for Blake to make.
It's a great move.
Now, the problem is he stinks at it, but he's doing it at least. You got to give him credit for that.
This is where Connor mentions that the hardest thing is that she didn't say she's sorry. Okay.
I remember that. Run
back the tapes, folks. Kaylin specifically said, I'm really sorry. What else do you want?
Connor cooked up a couple facts that weren't facts.
That's just not true, Connor. I'm sorry. The tapes. I went back. I watched the tapes. And it's just not true, pal.
That's good of you. Because I remember hearing that and thinking like, dang, that's
dang,
fucked up.
Yeah,
Kaylin
that is fucked up.
Sorry.
Yeah, the first time I saw it, I'm like, oh, I think she said sorry. So then I went back and watched it. And she did. Sure enough, she did.
Katie and Chris date. My summary is they pretended like there might be issues, but there are no issues, and they're fine. Do you have anything on this date?
No, you summed it up. I could go into it deeper, but I don't really want to.
They kiss. Never a doubt. Awesome wedding parade in the street with sparklers and a band.
Yeah, that was something to note.
Amazing.
There. Was that a I've never heard of this tradition before, but it's something I'm very interested
in. It should be standard practice.
Standard
that
across all
amazing.
Societies.
Can you imagine how fun that would be?
With your wedding party, just trotting down the street with a big-ass balloons behind you, parade, people playing instruments, dancing in the street. They had bottles of liquor
around. That'd be amazing. Katie says she's falling for Chris. So that's their date. Back to Connor, lonely on the beach, thinking about leaving until Revian from Colton season, the famous Revian, comes down the stairs.
I can say with 100% confidence, and you know me, 100%, I don't say that a lot, 100% confidence, I have never seen this woman in my life.
The only reason I remember
I've never seen this woman in my life on my television screen.
Actually, with that little caveat, I think I can say the same thing, because the only reason I've seen her is... But when they release the cast, I go to the headshot bios and like try to put some stuff on Instagram for those. So I remember seeing her headshot, but I'm 100% confident that she got no screen time and definitely didn't say any words on Night One of Colton season.
Absolutely
no
not.
Anyway, showing up the night / maybe week before the last day. It's almost pointless. It leaves someone with no options. And luckily for her, Connor's reeling, but this isn't like the wild card crazy twist that I think they expect us to think it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Me and you have both questioned why these people come in. this late? Like, they're obviously not going to find love. And then, like, a couple days later, Chris comes in and he's like, if you don't have a serious relationship, you got to go. It's like, you just set me in here. I just talked to you,
impossible.
Chris. It's impossible. How would I have a serious relationship right now?
I would like to talk more about maybe some tweaks that they can make on Paradise.
I'd like
I
that.
I thought it was going to be this episode, but maybe next episode.
Next episode. I'll start thinking.
And I'll put it this way. Heavily influenced by our experience watching Love Island. I'll just put that out there. Anyway, during their conversation, Revian and Connor, this is how the date ask transpired. I was with Kaylin, but then Dean came back and she left with him. So, and then Revian's like, do you want to go on this date? That was the lead in.
Yeah, that's it.
Revian has no idea who those people are or what, or any of the history of what's going on here. How is that even going to be come up at all?
Further background for the listeners on how this date, how he was asked. First, she spoke to like five other people that she was more interested in. He was like the fifth choice.
The fifth choice.
Yeah.
If you're coming in this late, you say, hey, is anybody open to date?
Yeah.
Almost all of them are going to say no. Like, I'm thinking about marrying this person here to my left.
Absolutely not. I don't even want to talk to you.
Not a lot going on their date. They're riding Segways. One of J.F. Sebastian's toy friends from Blade Runner makes balloon animals for him. That's going to hit with a couple people. and then Connor, here's another terrible lead-in. Maybe
bad lead-in.
Do you have what he said here?
Yeah, he said, hey, sorry about being so bummed today. Except he said it in Connor voice. And then they made out.
That was
for
it.
Some reason. That's what he said. Sorry about being so bummed out today earlier in the morning. I'm sorry about that.
She's like, it's fine. And then they kissed.
Make out.
I don't know if they maybe snipped some lead-ins for these two, but it was
really
like,
hope
what?
They did.
He said, sorry I'm bummed about Kaylin, but you just got to move on. Boom.
Kiss.
Romantic. You'll never forget that moment, you two. Okay, back on the beach. Friends/acquaintances, Blake and Christina, politely talking about other couples. It sure seems like Christina is disinterested at best. Best case scenario for Blake is that Christina is mostly disinterested in a romantic relationship.
Yeah, he doesn't appear to be reading how she's reacting to anything he's saying, because she's not giving him anything.
He's acting hypnotized, like somebody hypnotized him into thinking that this is good, but it's not. And he even says, like, well, now that I'm like a good guy, this is going to be awesome, right? And she's like, well, I don't know that for sure.
What she said was, you put someone in the same exact situation that they previously failed at. Why would I anticipate them being any different this time? Which is the situation with Blake. She's already tried this. It didn't work. Why would she try it again?
Demi and Christian talking with Katie. Christian says out loud, it should be noted, that they have different, her and Demi have different ways of showing affection. Specifically, that Demi isn't as touchy-feely, physical affection, but Christian loves her all the same. Because she knows it's there. There's just different ways of showing it. Okay. So that's openly discussed.
You've heard of love languages, right, Rim? They're talking love languages here.
You know me.
That's all they're talking about.
Demi to the camera expresses minor annoyance at Christian, quote, flirting with other girls on the beach. Quote, I feel like she's more interested in them than me.
Okay.
I didn't really get that vibe, but who knows what's going on all the time down there.
Check the tapes. They had a lot of tape on it, right? When she brought that up.
They had a large amount of tape on it.
They had a big time roll of tape of her flirting with other girls. I don't know. It's cut up a certain way, but there was tape.
There was. But also, it's to our knowledge, none of those people would be our possible potential partners for Christian. I mean, the whole scenario is kind of insane. Like, these two are obviously a couple before. They're light years ahead of almost every other couple on the beach. Christian didn't come all the way down to Mexico to leave Demi and go run off with somebody else on the beach. I mean, that was never going to happen.
But that being said, it's still... It's fine for Demi to feel this way if she doesn't like Christian, you know, all touchy-feely with it, other girls. I'm okay with that.
I think that was probably her third concern. They kind of spun it to be Demi's really concerned about Christian flirting with other people. But it's later we found out it was probably more about her hesitancy Demi's hesitancy to do that kind of stuff in front of other people and her nervousness about maybe not giving Christian, quote, what she needs in that department, in the arm rubbing department. Yeah.
Demi had a great quote. Just because I came out doesn't mean everything's broken down and fears are vanished, which is something I hadn't really thought about. I'm like, I guess I hadn't thought about that. She came out, so I'm like, okay, it's all good here. No, she's still got the same insecurities. Just because she came out doesn't mean those go away just like that.
Even in front of these people that she knows. I mean, you would expect in maybe public around strangers, of course. But you thought earlier like, oh, well, these are her friends. She knows half these people and is really good friends with them. It shouldn't be that big a deal, but it still is. Anyway, I just never bought the show tried to make it seem like their relationship hung in the balance.
Yeah, I didn't buy that.
It was just a conversation they needed to have, not like, will Demi and Christian break up? Like, will Demi give Christian a rose at the rose? I was like, come on, no.
It was just a real conversation that they had to have. And
well, now you're moving into the date now.
Yes.
We're going to the date now.
They asked, they didn't ask for a date in particular. Demi didn't even want the date, but they gave it to him.
Date cards were free.
Date cards are flying around like crazy.
Anyway, let's talk about the date then. Before we get to the conversation, my big takeaway from the pre-conversation sacred ceremony celebrating their two spirits uniting is that was the most fire piece of headwear in history that I've ever seen. And I mean that sincerely. It was unbelievable. Now, unlike you, I knew everything they were saying because I took Spanish in high school. Do you have anything else on that ceremony? Other than that, I would do anything to wear that piece of headwear, if only for a moment.
It was pretty cool. The whole thing was cool. I liked it. Not as high on the head gear as Rim was.
Well, run the tape back. It was unbelievable. It's breathtaking. Okay. After the ceremony, they're talking on a bench. I don't think they were even served dinner on this date.
Nope. If you would even call it that. It was just an afternoon activity.
Who said this? Demi. She said, you're a touchy person, I'm not, and it's a struggle to watch you be touchy with other people. This is reasonable because, you know, let's say you're not a huggy guy, AB, and someone you're in a relationship
with. I am
with.
A huggy guy, just to be clear.
I know, let's just be crazy just for a second.
That's nuts, though. I can't even think that. But I know,
this is an insane situation.
It's insanity.
But like, let's just say that, you know, your wife's always rubbing arms or whatever. Yeah. Real like, just like, oh, ha, that was funny.
And I'm not touchy.
No, and you're like a grouch. We'll call you a grouch.
Sure.
And it's a friendly way, but maybe it's not, and you don't know for sure. You might feel uncomfortable with that.
Understandable.
It happens all the time with everybody.
Understandable, yeah.
But I just didn't, even though they had the highlight reel of Christian's flirty touches, frankly.
That's a highlight reel.
it just never seemed like a real threat to me because...
It's not a threat, necessarily, but you do worry that your significant other is getting something from someone else. Like, just because it's not a romantic connection, obviously, I guess we don't know for sure, but most of these girls are straight. So there's no possible, there's not a big time chance that they're obviously going to cheat on each other or anything like that. But there, you could still get an emotional or, the physical thing that you're missing from your significant other just because there's nothing romantic there.
Demi says, it might be a deal breaker for you. I feel like I might not be good enough because I'm not touchy enough for you. Particularly in front of other people.
And I think the thing they don't mention fully, but I don't know that she, the person, isn't a physical person, a touchy-feely person. I think it's more about her coming out.
It's public Christian has signs.
Yeah, public signs of affection with another woman at this point. She isn't fully comfortable with not knowing how everyone feels, which is completely understandable.
Especially when, like, a new person you might not know strolls down, like, Chase or somebody. If Chase and Revian, who she probably barely knows, that's different than everybody who's been on the beach with you for however many weeks or days or months.
Christian, it seems to me that Christian is very comfortable with herself and being gay. And Demi is just starting to explore, the feelings that go along with coming out and everything that goes along with that.
I don't think they show Christian's age, but I get the vibe that she's a lot older than Demi.
Seems
not
like
a lot
it to
older.
Me.
She
yeah.
seems older than it because Demi's, I think, 24.
Yeah.
Christian could be late 20s or 30s. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
But there's definitely that vibe. So one assumes, and it was implied, that she's been out for much longer than Demi. So anyway, long story short, Christian reassures her, "You are enough, Demi. They say I love you. It's all good." These two are just so far beyond. It's.
Yeah.
It's like watching a different show, and not for the reasons you might think. They're just so far beyond everyone else in terms of relationship development. Like, this they have these arguments and discussions that long-term actual couples have. They're not getting to know each other as much. You know what I mean?
I really enjoyed this segment because it was, like you said, they are further along, and this was a very real conversation that could happen out in the real world, and I'm sure tons of people have had conversations like this with their significant others. So this is why this is the love and the conversations we beg for most of the time.
Agreed. Christian was never going to leave Demi. Just to wrap, put a bow on this, and because I have a funny comment at the end, Christian was never going to leave Demi. Okay, because mostly because to our knowledge, there's no interested parties on the island. Zero other interested potential parties. But I would have loved if she did. Can you imagine if she came on the show, not in Bachelor Nation, as an established couple, and then flirted with someone else, uncovered a surprise bi contestant, and left with them? That would have been unbelievable, okay? Yeah. That's what I was secretly hoping would happen.
Not me. I like these two. That's true love
too,
here.
I mean, she's too nice of a person, big but fan that, of would these been, two. That would have been a good twist. John Paul Jones and Tayshia. JPJ approaches a group of ladies. Announces he has a surprise for Tayshia. So I'm thinking, all right, here we go with this, you know, the pillows.
Some bullshit.
Some old BS. I couldn't find the lighter, so none of the candles are, you know, that kind of surprise. But we learn that Tayshia didn't go to her high school prom. So John Paul Jones asks her to Paradise prom.
Cute.
He packed a suit, apparently, and a corsage. This was the full prom experience.
This was adorable.
They had a promenade in front of everyone.
Yeah.
Down the beach. It was everything.
It was cute. I loved it. I loved everything about this. And I don't know if I've ever seen someone more in love with someone than John Paul Jones is in love with Tayshia. And I like to see that.
He had a setup with balloon with letter balloons. Quick little note about letter balloons. Whoever the company is that makes letter balloons, I should have invested in them a couple. Letter and number balloons exploded onto the scene in recent, maybe the last couple, 2 or 3 years. They're everywhere. I'm telling you, letter balloons.
If you got a party and you
right
don't
now.
Have a letter or a number balloon,
oh
I don't
my God,
be
can
there.
You imagine
no
going
thanks.
To a 27-year-old girl's birthday party and they don't have a big 27 in
no,
gold?
No, I can't. I can't imagine that.
Couldn't
fact.
Be me. No, sir. Anyway, he's got some punch. The punch looked mostly drank. The punch looked bad, I'll be honest, but it was punch.
Listen, full disclosure, Rim, I liked everything he did. The prom setup was weak. I would have preferred it a little bigger.
It was just one day bed.
It was just one day bed. I would have preferred a DJ. Can they set up a DJ for the situation and have a prom night? I think they should have went huge. They went bigger than a normal just setup date by the contestant, but the producers could have helped him blow this thing out.
You're saying they should have had a prom night for everyone.
Yeah.
I like that it was specific to Tayshia, though. You know
I
what
like
I mean? Because she was the one who didn't go, so that's the John Paul Jones thoughtfulness. And they only had a day's notice.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
The DJ, a little too much to ask, at least a speaker so you could play some Boysman end of the road type
an
stuff
iPhone,
if you're John Paul Jones.
An iPhone with a, you know, with a,
with
one
cup,
of those
with a plastic
things.
Cup.
Yeah. That's all they need. I don't want a saxophone. Like, what am I going to dance to a saxophone?
I'm slow dance.
No.
Are you kidding me?
This isn't
please.
Kenny G.
I would have, they could have got Kenny G. He was on Holy Moly. He was on the first episode of Holy Moly. So, could not have been cuter, AB.
Yeah,
I'm not
adorable.
Sure anyone has appreciated a gesture more on this show than Tayshia appreciated this.
Tayshia was so happy. She was ecstatic to go on this date. It was incredible. Nope. And John Paul Jones makes her laugh hard.
Oh, yeah.
She's every time she's with him, she's crying laughing. And this is what started to make me think these two might actually have something. I know we've said it's been a joke, but the way she laughs around John Paul Jones, I started to wonder. if something could be there.
Now, part of the reason she laughed, it should be noted, is that John Paul Jones let out an enormous burp, likes of with rustled the trees in the woods.
That's just something you get with John Paul Jones.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and Tayshia was crying laughing at it. So
she had to get away from the cloud a little bit, but it was funny. It was a funny burp, okay? Yeah. Eventually, the other couples join them at the dance, and I'd say is the best scene of the season by a huge margin.
I agree. Yep.
It was great.
It was beautiful.
And it was corny. It was what we were talking about a little bit last week. It had cheesy graphics, slow motion makeouts. That's what Paradise should be.
That's what it's about.
If John Paul Jones didn't have that Derek stuff, he would be capping off one of the great Paradise seasons.
I agree.
In terms of entertainment.
Yeah, I agree. I had a thought while this was all going on. I'd like to see Tayshia's dad show up. Remember Tayshia's dad? I'd like to see a John Paul Jones Tayshia's dad confrontation. That's what I would like to see. I would pay for a full pay-per-view
situation. I'd pay $9.99 for an hour show of them two meeting.
Absolutely.
Well, Mr. Adams, his eyes bugging out, fucking staring right into his soul. That'd be good. All right, back to week two. Of Blake trying to convince himself the Christina thing is going to happen, but it's not going to happen. He's talking about her being his wife, partner for life, despite the fact that she's shown zero to maybe negative interest in him. He even says, I want her to suddenly be like, I've let him in, which is like, I want her to suddenly have a complete change of heart to where she's been since Christina took him on a date. To rip him a new
one. She wasted a date card, her only date card.
She hasn't been on any other date.
She hasn't got another date card. She wasted her only date card to rip him.
So speaking of date cards, Blake forges one so that he can have Christina in the his little date area that he set up. He's got candles, the pillows angled, the flower petals, etc.
So just to be clear, Rim, John Paul Jones sets up a prom. Beautiful prom.
This is the same night, too.
Using knowledge that he gained from listening to Tayshia the night before. Blake, not reading any signs that Christine is not interested in him, on that same day comes with a weak-ass...
It was weak.
Normal pillows on the ground.
Set up
candles,
on the floor.
Something on the ground, blanket. The normal Bachelor in Paradise date. Writes a date card and thinks he's got something special on his hands. He's like,
you know,
I'm doing something real special for Christina. It's like, no, everyone does this for everybody. What John Paul Jones just did 15 minutes ago. No,
the
that is special.
Yeah. When they were, I think he was talking to Clay and they were watching, you know, the prom go on and Blake's like, wait till you see what I got.
If it's me, I cancel my plans.
I'm like, I go clean that shit up and act like it never happened.
You gotta wait till the next day.
Anyway, Blake thinks his entire life has been leading to this moment. Like, it's all coming together because of these pillows he angled.
An interesting thing, but right after Blake takes Christina away, Wells is chatting with a few people, and he's like, you guys think they could get engaged? And I'm like, hell no. But then a couple people, Nicole included, are like, yeah.
Nicole's got a bad read on other couples.
I was going to say, Nicole has her finger...
Consistently bad read.
Consistently off the pulse of Paradise Island here. Because she says, she's like, yeah, she loves him. It's like, what are you talking about? Christina loves him. We're talking about Christina and Blake here. Do you understand?
Oh, I wasn't really listening. Anyway, Christina shows up. She's like, oh, this is nice. I feel guilty. And everybody knew as soon as Christina walked through the goddamn door, she gonna break heart. It doesn't work. It doesn't work as well. But anyway, she says, I don't think I'm able to get where I need to get with you. I can't get there if I'm being real. And I appreciate her being real because she hasn't been real in a couple days on this show.
No.
She's been putting on a fake facade. Long story short, Blake was the first person to think this was a good idea and the last one to realize it was not. Anything else on this?
Just another episode where Blake ends it and with Curb Your Enthusiasm playing because he's had another bad episode. I don't know how it keeps happening like this. It's happened multiple times where I'm like, okay, it's over for this guy. It's got to turn around. At least nothing bad's going to happen to him the rest of the time. But stuff keeps happening to the guy. He goes down as the worst contestant in Bachelor in Paradise in terms of the time they had.
And relative to the expectations, certainly.
Yeah, and where their stock went, he had the worst time ever. And I don't think it's I don't think it's close. Like, Dean had one thing. Blake's had like four episodes and big things happen to him that were huge disappointments for him.
It really is.
It's incredible.
It's honestly incredible to think about. Anyway, the Blake just kind of sits there. They hug. She cries. She leaves. Then Blake cries. I'm not sure Blake is really crying necessarily over Christina. He's crying over what you just described, which is the biggest drop in stock. This is 2008 crash is Blake's new nickname. Anyway, let's take a quick break here from some sponsors.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I feel like I didn't give the spot. I didn't give the ads enough credence. I was like, "Here from some sponsors." Like, it should have hyped it up more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, next episode, starting to get serious with some of these couples. AB openly talking about who might get engaged. There was a moment when Haley was like, "Demi, you guys think you're going to get engaged?" And Demi was like, "I don't know." She's like, "I think you guys would be open to it." It's like, "Why don't you shut the fuck up, Haley?"
What are you talking about, Haley?
Why do you know? Don't tell me what I'm open to.
Me personally, me. Yeah. I think you guys would be interested in that.
Not just I think you should.
No,
I think you guys are thinking this.
I think you guys would be pretty open to this to a conversation like that.
Demi and Christian, affection gate is still lingering. Mm-hmm. Demi is still uncomfortable showing physical. They didn't solve everything yesterday. That's not how life works. She's still uncomfortable a little bit showing physical affection in front of everyone. Christian gets it. Some of her previous relationships had the same issue, which is not surprising. And she hopes it doesn't become a roadblock with Demi. So now we're starting to think, okay, that might be a reason they don't leave paradise together. Mm-hmm. That's an actual thing.
Yeah, there's starting to be some stuff here.
Hannah and Dylan date. What did you make of this date, AB? Where do you rank it on your all-time top 1,000 paradise dates?
Let me make sure I'm understanding the date properly, Rim. Did they go to a little boy's, I don't know, 7-year-old birthday party of someone they didn't know?
Yes.
Probably didn't speak their language.
Yep.
And then kind of just stuffed themselves into the party. In fact,
helped
Dylan
do the
once.
Dishes, I think?
They did dishes. They helped make the food. And then Dylan actually swung on the pinata, which I thought was inappropriate.
That's a waste of a pinata swing at the point. What if you would have broken it? Then you had a stranger.
What if Dylan
American
breaks
man.
The pinata?
That's no fun at all.
Am I understanding the date appropriately? They went to a birthday
total
party.
Total estimated cost was, it was like the old MasterCard commercials. It was like $44, priceless, except all the expenses for this date were $0. This cost nothing. It was just like, oh, there's a party over there. Go hang out over there, you two. Weird date, to say the least.
Yeah.
Dylan was also like picking kids up, but he was picking kids up that I think were too big, too old to be. I don't know. Okay. But I feel like even your oldest is reaching an age where she doesn't get picked up all the time. This kid was like 9 years old. And he was picking him up. Kid was like, put me down, you strange man. Anyway, at the end of the date, they're on the bench alone and Dylan reveals he's in love with Hannah. He says, "I love you, Hannah." What did you make of Hannah's reaction to that?
I see by your eyes that I missed something.
They're raised. The eyebrows are raised. What did you make of
them? The eyebrows are raised, and the tone in your voice makes me think that she didn't. She didn't reciprocate it. I thought it was fine. I thought they both said they love you. What's the problem here, Rim?
Well, yeah. Eventually, her eyes to me were like, "Oh,
you're reading
boy.
Eyes now, huh?"
That's all you can read out there in the world. Mid kiss, she did say, "I love you, Dylan." Wow. But it run the tape.
Okay.
I was not convinced. That doesn't mean I don't think they'll stay together. But
full disclosure, I was very bored by their date, like I am of them in general. So I wasn't
paying. So just come over to my side then. Just come over here.
I don't fully care what's going on with them. I mean, there's multiple times that they show up, like after a big thing happened, they're like, wait, what happened? It's like, what are you talking about? Where the fuck have you two been? It's like, get the fuck out of paradise if you're not going to be here for any of it.
Oh, well. That's funny you say that, because we didn't mention that Blake and Christina both left Paradise.
Yeah.
We didn't make a big deal
and
out of that.
And they didn't even
know. Both left Paradise
Hannah and
that
Dylan
night.
Didn't know the next day.
That was strange. That was very strange. Here's what Hannah said to the camera. She said, I told the guy that I'm really into that I love him, and he said it back.
Wow.
That's not what happened. He said it.
Yeah.
he told you, and then you begrudgingly
I mean,
said
there's always
going to
be
opinion.
A thing in the back of everyone's mind on if Hannah really likes Dylan. And it's mostly because she was an ace superstar of the series and he wasn't. That's always in the back of my mind. Around that.
That's my, these two are fine. We don't see a lot of them because they've been together the whole time. But I do think of this couple, like, my main takeaway is, holy shit, Dylan came on Paradise basically to try and talk to this celebrity that he has a crush on. Okay, and now he's dating
her
and they might get married. Like, that's, they make movies about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, really do.
I think these two really like each other, and I think it's a real relationship. But this exchange made me think, I just don't know if...
Not sold.
They're there yet. I don't know if she is there yet.
Okay.
But like I said, I think they're sticking together. All right, Connor. New Blake? Question mark? He is bummed that everyone is coupled up.
He didn't do anything wrong like Blake.
No, but he's alone. And he's...
Yeah, he's sad and alone. Sure, he is.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah.
New Blake in that sense.
It's not a perfect analogy. It's just trying to make a joke. He's bummed that everyone's coupled up except him. But he wants Whitney to show up. She was at the wedding. I don't know what season she was on. I want to say Nick File. I think she went home on a 2-on-1 date. It was her and maybe a villain, and we hadn't seen her on screen. I remember talking about this. She went on a 2-on-1 date and got sent home, but we hadn't seen her prior to that. Is that ringing a bell?
It was either her or someone that looks just like her. Okay.
Extremely likely. She's got the look.
Yeah.
So she's got the look. Anyway. they spent some time together at the wedding.
Apparently.
Had some great conversation. Plus, they're both hot, so they would make a good couple. Unbeknownst to Connor, Whitney is on her way specifically to meet him. Connor says, if Whitney doesn't come down in the next 5 minutes, I'm just going to leave. A little rash, my opinion.
Yeah, there's really no reason to leave. I mean, you're just going to a hotel, right? Like, you're not... When people say they're going to leave, they're not, like, hopping on a small plane and flying back to America. No, you're going to a hotel for a couple days, probably, until your flight with other people that have left.
Yeah, man, like, you're not getting a solo private back home.
You're not getting a solo flight back to America. You're going to go when the rest of the people are.
He says, it's tough to sit here and hope Whitney comes when you don't really know. It's tough to sit at a beach for another day or two.
What are you talking about? Unlimited food and drink you don't have to pay for on the beach?
Just hang
with
out.
With a pool and a hot
the
tub.
Pool?
Everything you could want. Wells is there if you just want to talk with a pal. I mean, what do you mean it's tough?
There's no better situation for you to be in at any given moment than on Paradise.
Nothing better.
I'd say the best place in the world to be single is Paradise. That there's no reason to leave.
Absolutely.
So Connor calls everyone over. He's like, guys, headed out. Can't do it anymore. Moments after Connor leaves, Whitney arrives.
Yeah, this was producers really pulled some strings on this one, and I liked it. They made something out of nothing. There was nothing here.
There was nothing here.
Do you want me to believe that these two like are made for each other, and this is like a love story or something? I don't believe it. The producers made this all up.
The cars pass each other on the road. They had to get that timing down. I mean, they're probably like, all right, he's about to leave. Get him. Like, make sure you do that. Like, they probably drove Whitney around for a while. Yeah. When Whitney finds out, she arrives and finds out that Connor just leaves, she decides to go and track him down. Everyone on the beach just can't believe this. What a crazy coincidence. I wonder how this happened.
Come on.
So Whitney goes to Connor's hotel room and they hang out. Happy ending.
I mean, they're also surprised that Whitney left. It's like they probably cut out where she asked if there's anyone else that's single, and there's nobody else that's single on the beach. So what's the point of her staying?
Maybe I feel like these two should have confirmed one another's attendance on pair. Like, I feel like that might have come up. The wedding, Chris and Crystal's wedding, was basically the green room for the show. Everyone who was going to be on the show was chit chatting at the wedding.
Yeah.
It's not as if the topic wouldn't have come up, but it made for a good, this was a good filler segment.
Yeah. Just two hot kids.
Just a couple hot kids. You want to see?
Just want to see what's in person, how hot they are. Yeah. I guess that's all they're doing.
Back on the beach. John Paul Jones and Tayshia built a little sandcastle and watched the sunset together. I just want to document all the cute, different activities that these two are doing that no one else is doing.
And they're having a blast the whole entire time.
Maybe the other couples could learn a little something about having fun.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, you like Hannah and Dylan, but when was the last time they had fun? They literally just lay around and he nuzzles into her shoulder. That's all they do. Clay and Nicole get to go on a date. Before the date, Nicole tells Wells that she's going to wait for Clay to say I love you before she does.
Because she does love him, but she's not going to say it first.
Yes. She said I'm falling for you in their last date.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's kind of waiting for him to catch up. Nicole wants to know that Clay is for sure 100% in with her. A couple weeks ago, I told you I'm falling for you. Do you think you're falling a little bit?
Nicole also makes it seem, or at least alludes to, that she would be willing to move to Chicago.
Yes.
That's what I gathered there. But she wants to make sure he's for real. Now, you want to talk about faces, Rim? When she asks him if you're falling a little bit, I got a hard no from his face.
What do you think of his eyes?
I didn't look close enough at the eyes, just the face. He didn't seem to me like he was in the same place she was.
He kind of rambled around a little bit, just like, I like hanging out with you, all that.
I would say he begrudgingly told her, I'm falling for you, right? I mean, it didn't seem... She had to ask him.
He had to talk himself into it a little bit.
Start with, if you have to ask someone if they're falling for you, that's not a good place to start. If they were falling for you and had those strong feelings, they would just tell you.
He says I am falling, but he can't say he's in love yet, AB, which isn't even the ultimate tier. So I think Nicole obviously wants to get engaged at the end of Paradise.
Well, she's the boyfriend girl. If she gets engaged, she'll be the engaged girl who flaunts that she's engaged to everybody. That's just who she is.
That's fine. I just can't see it happening with Clay.
No,
I don't think Clay's going to ask her to. I can't imagine that.
No.
Which is fine. You could just be a couple for a while. You don't have to. Yeah. You don't have to do that.
Let's get off Paradise and see if it's real.
But I think I don't think that's going to happen either. I think it's going to be a deal breaker for her. If he can't say I love you, will you marry me? She's going to.
I think it's
going to
be a big time breakup. I agree.
Nighttime on the beach. Stay tuned for our predictions. Nighttime on the beach. Tayshia's got an art studio so she can paint John Paul Jones like Jack Drew Rose in the Titanic. Have you seen the Titanic, AB?
Have I seen the Titanic? Who hasn't seen the Titanic? You crazy?
Hand up. I didn't see the Titanic until relatively recently. Like, within the last 2 years.
I watched Titanic on VHS.
It was two or three tapes. That's an awesome movie.
At the time, it was two or three tapes that you had to watch. Okay?
I was in elementary school.
I had to close my eyes when this scene was happening the first time I watched Titanic. Okay?
That's right. Wow.
Yeah, anyway, I've seen Titanic.
All right, hey. I think it's great. I like Titanic.
Another great scene from a great couple that's providing a lot of entertainment.
That's what we're talking about. This is amazing.
This is a great scene. Loved it. Now
jump. Yeah.
Maybe we
offended by the Speedo size, which was smaller than normal.
No, I like the Speedo. It was a denim Speedo. I like that. I didn't know those existed. Hilarious Speedo gag. Speedo is already a gag. And somehow he had a gag Speedo. I don't understand how he did that, but he did it.
It's another level.
He took it to another level.
What were you going
to say? I was going to say, I would have liked them to get the rights to the song. They were kind of playing music that sounded like the Titanic.
Yeah.
But if they had that music playing and Celine Dion singing, wow, it could have gone up to even another level for the experience.
I forgot to write this down. I mean, obviously, I'm in lockstep with you on that opinion. I forgot to mention this last episode, but there was one scene where I'm not even going to bring it. I'll do it. Who fucking cares? There was one scene where some people were making out or whatever, and they were playing this love song, and it was like, bun. It was like a piano, like, bun. Yeah. And it reminded me, have you seen The Terminator?
Yeah, I've seen The Terminator. Crazy. Okay,
I don't know. I'm just making sure. In The Terminator, the best love scene of all time in cinematic history is The Terminator, because what happened was they took the Terminator song, like,
they made it a love song.
They took that song. They took that song and slowed it down and played it on the piano for this sex scene. It goes, and you're like, wait a second, is that the fucking theme song?
Is that the Terminator
song? That's my favorite love scene ever. The Terminator love scene is the best. Anyway, and that reminded me of the song they were playing for another scene, and that's why I brought it up, even though it's unrelated to what we're talking about here. All right, just wanted to be clear.
We're talking about Terminator love scenes here, folks.
That's what we're talking about, and it was a good scene. I can't wait to rip that scene and then put this on Instagram. All right, Chris is acting weird around Katie. He's not 100% convinced. Chris is like UAB. 100% is a big deal for him. He's not going to say 100% until he means it.
I'm with him.
He's not sure it's the right thing, so he's just being weird. And then Katie cries in bed. Anything I missed there that you want to talk about?
I also, back to Tasia and John Paul Jones, she drew him. They were holding up the picture.
Pencil.
They were holding up the picture, but we couldn't see it. I would have preferred a Sharpie or paint.
Yeah.
Like, you need something that we can see. We need to see that picture.
She very faintly sketched
it. It was like
a pencil.
With a mechanical pencil with the real fine tip.
Productions dropped the ball on that one. Not even a 0.7.
Yeah. That's tip. Ridiculous.
It was 0.5. Okay. I mean, come on.
Come on.
Cocktail party. Chris Harrison, for absolutely no reason, cancels this. That just seems cruel.
It's unnecessary. There's tons of people that don't have relationships here, Chris. Let's just calm down.
Or like on the cusp?
Yeah, you just sent some of these people in here.
Yep. Matt Donald can't figure out who he wants to move forward with. Maybe if we had a cocktail party, that would have been a whole segment. Who's Matt Donald going
to
choose?
I mean, what's the rush? What do you got to do tonight, Chris? What do you got?
Pointless. Cruel. So we move to the rose ceremony. A couple good moments here, starting with Luke S.
This was one of the toughest moments to watch. Cringe-worthy.
What happened, AB? What happened?
Luke comes up first. They do a couple cutscenes where some ladies are throwing mean jabs at him for no reason.
Haley,
it was very unnecessary from Haley, calling him basically an ugly Nick Vile for no reason.
She said Nick Vile is way hotter. It's like,
it was very unnecessary. I didn't know where this was coming from, but it only got worse from him. Luke tries to give his rose. Take note of the words I'm using, Rim.
Offered.
Luke offered a rose. What's her name?
Bree.
Oh, Luke offers a rose to Bree. Bree walks up and for the first time that I can remember, declines the rose, even though this could mean that she's going home.
Is that the first time? Chris Harrison said he's never happened before.
Chris made it
I
seem
can't
like
imagine
it.
That's true.
I cannot remember someone declining a rose. Why? I guess I don't understand, why would you decline a rose?
If you're not feeling the person. It's supposed to be about love connections, AB. She wasn't feeling this broke-ass Nick Vile. Their words, not mine.
But she's not feeling anybody.
Well, As we found out later, no.
So what's... I just don't understand why you'd ever turn down a rose. Especially thinking about the context of the longer you stay, the better it is for your brand and your social media, yeah. Which is what most of these people, especially a model like Brie, who I would assume would be very interested with more screen time. So I don't understand why anyone would turn down a rose unless you want to be really mean to someone. And that's how this came off.
Yeah. Yes. We should be agents for these people. We know what's best for your career.
That's true. We'll get you what you need, where you need to be here.
Rim and AB Rosenhaus. After she says no, Luke just kind of stands there. Wow. And waits for production to tell him what to do. Now, when this happened, I was like, well, he's got it. If you offer a rose and someone says no, you go home.
Right then.
And I feel like the other person should go home, too. Well, I mean, what's the point of the rose ceremony if, like...
I don't know if she should go home. Maybe she had a different relationship with someone else. Obviously, he should have gone home right away. I don't know where. I mean, this is one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen on the show. And we're talking about a reality TV show where tons of embarrassing stuff happens to these people.
People were laughing at him. They're like covering their mouths.
Demi's faces were brilliant, like always. It was bad.
The Chris goes, so anybody else want Luke's rose tonight? And it was just crickets. I'm surprised they didn't play a cricket noise.
Will anybody accept a rose from Luke? Nobody.
Poor guy. Good attitude, though. He was like, hey, you know, what are you going to do? You know what I mean? He didn't do a woe is me. Everyone tells me I'm so great. Why doesn't Brie like me? I mean, keep in mind, these two, I don't think, I don't remember them.
I mean, it's not a huge blow. It was just really embarrassing.
I think he should have known. I mean, Brie and Matt Donald went on a date.
Well, this is just another casualty of having no rose cocktail hour. Obviously, exactly. He would have talked to her and probably told her that he was going to give her a rose and would have cleared all this up. So, hey, good move by Chris.
Thinking about this even more, why didn't any of the other people, like, why didn't Revion say, like, I'll take your rose? Somebody should have said,
someone should have taken that rose. Someone should have took the damn rose. I agree with you there. I will take your rose.
Yeah. You just said this.
Fuck, you crazy?
Not taking the rose? Give me that rose. You're complicit in this meanness. Like, Revion should have taken this rose.
Why? Revion had just shown up. Why would she not take why did you even come here? If you don't want another couple days, obviously nothing's going to be there.
Connor's gone. The person she went on a date with, Connor, is gone.
Get your rose. I'm with you.
We talked about that for way too long. Matt Donald offers his rose to Brie.
One more thing on Luke.
Sure, we got time.
Chris told him to say his goodbyes and no one really said goodbye to him.
Oh my God, I felt so bad.
He went up to hug John Paul Jones. This is when it got even more cringe. Ugh. He goes up to hug John Paul Jones and John Paul Jones didn't want to hug him like... No, I got to stay.
Nobody
I got to keep my
moved.
Distance from
Nobody
you.
Nobody moved.
Nobody
when
moved
they
an
said
inch.
Say your goodbyes.
Nobody moved an inch. It was sad.
Lucas seems like a good guy, too.
I don't
like,
know what
on.
Happened. I don't know why this happened to him, but it did.
Matt Donald to Brie. If there was a cocktail hour, we could have seen Matt Donald struggling between Brie and Sydney, but we didn't. So that was anticlimactic. Dylan to Hannah, John Paul Jones to Tayshia, Chase to Angela, Clay to Nicole, Demi to Christian. And then the big, like, what's Chris going to do? Gives his rose to Katie, of course, because the other three people weren't options. Sydney, Haley, and Revion don't get roses. Your girl, Sydney, ripped Matt on the way out, AB, in a way that I felt was unfair and uncalled for. She said, Matt's going to get dumped. She said, there's no way Bree's going to stay in paradise or leave paradise with Matt.
Like always with my girl, Sydney. It's harsh, but it's true.
It's fair. That's fair. But it was just like...
She's going to hit you with the truth.
It was
and it might
60.
Hurt.
She didn't get a rose. And it was like, Matt's hopeless. Nobody's going to leave with him. Please. What a loser Matt is. Like,
Sydney had a nice little run on Paradise. She was in the first group of people that showed up. She lasted basically to the last rose ceremony. You got to give it up for her there. It made me wonder, not talking about Sydney, but is this the last we've seen of the twins? Has their time come and gone?
Well, it sounds like the twins as a entity are done.
The other
Haley might
Emily
not be.
Has a boyfriend, according to Instagram. So
you follow Emily on Instagram?
No, I follow whoever's on the season. So I follow Haley, and I gathered from that that Emily is engaged or something.
The next day, Chris Harrison shows up. Bachelor in Paradise is over, he says.
Chris seems to be done with this whole season for some reason, trying to speed things along.
He really is just like, all right, let's go. And then let's wrap every this conversation up. Is like, come on. I got a tea time. The couples need to decide if they're ready to take the next step as a couple, which is basically another date in Fantasy Suite, which everyone should agree to do.
Yeah.
Or you head out. You skedaddle. You can skedaddle together without taking the capital N next step. But those are the two options. What are we going to say?
I don't know. Well, a couple things. First of all, I don't get why they had a rose ceremony followed by basically another situation where they have to make a decision. Why didn't they just combine these two things? Maybe give them a cocktail hour and make the rose ceremony. Make the rose ceremony like, if you accept this rose, you're doing a fantasy suite. Wait, I don't understand.
Yeah, yeah.
They waited like the next day, like 12 hours, and then had a very serious conversation on if they're going to continue. Why wasn't the rose the decision? Why did Chase and Angela give each other a rose? Why did they get a rose if they're then the next day not gonna,
12 hours later?
I just don't understand the whole process.
You're right. And that would have created, if you gave them a cocktail hour and told them beforehand what the stakes were, then you go to the rose ceremony and accepting the rose means you agree to move forward for this next date in Fantasy Suite. That would have been a must-see rose ceremony. Yeah. And this one, other than the Luke thing, was not. So anyway, they have to talk, figure this out. This show is just a little too entrenched in its own traditions structurally, I think. So anyway, Matt Donald and Bree first up. I wish he would stop calling her a supermodel. That was weird.
Yeah. What's going on there?
I mean, talk about a good way to separate yourself from a potential partner. Put her on a pedestal like that. What did you make of this conversation?
Bree, who, mind you, just accepted a rose from him after turning down a rose from Luke for some reason, then the next day says, I'm feeling like you made the wrong decision by giving me the rose.
That was weird.
And lets him down. I didn't understand why she accepted a rose from Matt Donald but didn't from Luke. I was very confused by the whole situation.
Her reasoning was sound. She says, I feel like you see the exterior of me.
Well, yeah,
because
he keeps calling you a supermodel. Of course, that's all he is seeing.
So that makes sense. But like you said, you just accepted the rose from him. Now you're blaming him for making a bad decision. You could have said no. Just like, it's not like we know you're okay with doing that.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're gone. Chase and Angela. Chase says they're missing some vague and tangible, and then they go their separate ways. That kind of surprised me, frankly. But here's what I think is going on. They don't have that many fantasy suites.
Yeah. Everyone can't get into a fantasy suite.
Everyone can't say, we only got four, you know?
Yeah.
So they go their separate ways. Hannah and Dylan, obviously, they're going forward together. Clay and Nicole. Nicole, quote, knows for a fact deep down that she's in love with Clay, but Clay hasn't indicated that yet. He's not exactly Mr. Smooth Talker, but they get to a point where they're excited to stay together. Do you have anything on those two?
I didn't think Clay seems that into it anymore, but maybe that's just because of his demeanor and his voice. So I don't know. It's hard for
me
to...
The way he is.
Yeah, this might be something about Clay. There's no real excitement. He's got... Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sold on this couple.
I think I'm kind of with you, but I think it is just the way he is because...
It could be, yeah.
When he was talking about when Angela came back and he was really having a hard time with that, it sounds the same as when he's talking with Nicole about how much he likes her.
I'm with you.
Tayshia and John Paul Jones.
Whew.
What a scene.
Wow.
What a scene. What a scene.
Breathtaking, like their entire relationship has been for me. It's been a goddamn roller coaster ride.
Roller coaster. This was a perfect capper for these two. JPJ says, and nothing was unexpected. Even the things that were like, what the fuck was that? You kind of got expected with John Paul Jones. John Paul Jones says, I'd like to dance with you at our wedding someday. Wow. I'm in love with you, Tayshia Adams. A little strong.
Very strong.
Even though these two had some good times, it was a little strong. What'd you make of that?
I thought these two were going to make it, Rim, when he said this.
But did you think Tayshia would reciprocate that level?
Not that level, no. I didn't think she was there yet, but I thought they were going to move forward. I really did, with the fantasy suite.
if he played his cards right,
if he wouldn't professed his love to her,
yeah,
it would have went a different way. Okay.
Yeah. Because he just came on too
shiny. When someone tells you I love you and you're not anywhere near that, it's a deal breaker. Even if you do like that person. I think Tayshia genuinely likes John Paul Jones, but she was nowhere near saying I love you to him.
I mean, she basically dumped him more or less twice.
Yeah.
On this show. She said, hey, check out who comes next down the stairs. Then he did. And then she went over to Derek. And then Derek and John Paul Jones were fighting with each other. So she basically dumped Derek, but also was like, John Paul Jones, like, I can't get there.
Yeah.
She said, I can't get there with you like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. So John Paul Jones, like, take a hint. She does not love you.
Yeah. Yet, tone right? it down.
Tone it down a little bit. But her response when he says that was kind of strange. She kisses him and hugs him.
Yeah.
Before telling him she doesn't feel the same way. So she let him have this moment where he thought it was going well.
Yeah.
I thought that was weird.
She kissed him and gave him a hug. And you could see in her eyes, because they were hugging, so her face was out of his view. She was skeptical. He was just like soaking it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I did it. But then when she says she's not there yet, of all the things that happened in this scene, this was the most breathtaking.
This is
John
wild.
Paul Jones had a classy speech.
Yeah.
Doesn't cry, doesn't break down any of that. His world just came crashing down. Where he put Tayshia on this pedestal, he said, life does not get better than Tayshia Adams. And then she says, I'm not into it. I would have expected him to be a puddle, just to collapse.
Yeah.
You want to talk Curb Your Enthusiasm? Like when the doctor tells Larry that Ms. Black has cancer and he goes, oh, and he collapses to the ground. That's what I expected out of John Paul Jones, but it didn't happen.
He handled it well.
And then an SNL skit occurred. What do you make of this exit from John Paul Jones?
I called it performance art. John Paul Jones dramatically walks away.
It's a great walk away.
For some reason, Tayshia then chases after him, like there's gonna be something there. They hug. This is exactly what happened, folks. They hug, and then
you're thinking they're together. They're back.
Okay,
this
they're back.
It. She made regretted her decision.
Then John Paul Jones picks her up and starts walking with her, and it's like, where the fuck are they going? For one,
are they together? They're together.
Oh, they're
this
together.
Is what you're
thinking. They're together. They're together. It's all good. Like she had a second. She saw him walking away. Couldn't picture life without John Paul Jones. Now they're going off into the sunset. He's carrying her. Okay? He's carrying her.
Whatever
that is. He's got her scooped up under his arms.
Yep.
Double scooped.
Yep.
Walks about 5 steps. Would you say 5 steps?
I have 15 feet here.
15 feet?
Towards
okay.
The exit. Now, that's generous.
That's fair.
That's
generous.
That's
very generous. Anywhere between 5 and 15 feet. He walks with her, holding her. He then sets her down. They don't say anything. He sets her down. And he says, goodbye, Tayshia Adams. Scene. Like, what the fuck was that? What was this? Why did he pick her up? Why did they hug? What is going on?
The hug was fine, but then the pickup was...
I've never seen a more bizarre pickup in my life. What was the pickup? I've never seen anything
like that. I mean, he's a weird guy.
That was
a
weird
guy. I mean, picking her up was
insane.
Why did
he pick her up?
And then she's got her arms wrapped.
She had her arms wrapped.
Like, I wonder what was going through her mind as she was being carried toward the exit.
It made me question everything. Like, has this whole thing been an act?
Been a ruse?
Just a performance by both of them. I thought they were both in on it. And this was the final scene. What was
God,
this?
That was something.
It was like,
I mean, what
the
was
Hills
she gonna
finale
do
when they pulled back the and they had the green screen there. That's
what was Tayshia gonna do if so? John Paul Jones is carrying.
Where's
you.
He carrying her?
You're like, oh my God, he misunderstood what I just did. I just wanted to apologize and say I'm gonna miss him. Now he's taking me with him. I'm gonna have to tell him
again.
That I'm not feeling it. Then thankfully, like what would she have done if he started carrying her up the stairs? She would have been like, John, I mean.
We're still done.
We're still, yeah, I was just being, I was
bizarre.
Just making a moment for
bizarre
the TV.
Bizarre moment.
Very bizarre. And then they have a great video package of all their memories together.
Good
it was
montage.
Great. Yep. It was great. When John Paul Jones left, I thought to myself, if the Derek thing doesn't happen, even if it does, and it did, you follow me? Yeah. He got closer. He's not going to be the Bachelor, but I am stunned at how close, relatively to where he started, he is now. I laughed in people's faces when they go, John Paul Jones should be the Bachelor. Now this guy has like a real,
he's got a following.
He was head over heels. He's got a following. He's got a real heartbreak narrative that's real, yeah. Unlike Colton and, you know, Tia.
The thing is with John Paul Jones, I think he would turn down the Bachelor because
yeah, probably.
He cannot envision ever finding another woman like Tayshia. So I don't think it'll work. Yeah.
I mean, it's never going to happen, but I went from laughing at the notion recently to being like, I'd watch that.
That'd
and I think you'd take it very seriously.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, next couples, Demi and Christian. Believe it or not, they want to continue their relationship.
Hey.
So they're moving forward, yeah.
Speaking of John Paul Jones, do you think there's a market out there for other people to snatch some of these contestants up and have like a dating series on them, like a Demi or a John Paul Jones, or, you know, there's... Ooh. Obviously, these people have followings. Is there a market out there for some sort of other reality TV show for them to find love? You know, like a MTV or a VH1 or something like that. I don't know. They might not be quite there. I mean, because like Pauly and Vinny are obviously way more popular than these guys. And they get stuff like reality TV shows. But there's no examples of someone probably on these guys' level. I'm talking myself out of it.
Yeah, I don't agree with you.
Yeah. Never mind.
John Paul Jones only has 400. I mean,
yeah,
Travis Kelce had a dating show. You know what I mean? There's an outlet for everybody.
I just had to run that through.
Sometimes you got to talk it out.
You got to talk it out. And he won't. Yeah, it wouldn't work. But
maybe he just had a mailbag question for himself, answered it, and convinced himself.
And we're moved on.
Demi and Christian, they're also moving on. Chris and Katie. For a minute there, it looked like Chris was about to break this off.
Yeah, I regret writing this down. I said he's going to die alone. I was very mad. I was very mad with how this conversation went. And in my anger, I wrote down, this is why you're going to die alone, Chris. Jeez. I regret it, but I got a full disclosure here. I have to tell you what I wrote.
You got a little Haley in you, a little Demi in you.
It wasn't my best moment, but I meant it at the time.
Did you see that tweet from the great account Rosecast Podcast on Twitter that if he broke Katie's heart, we're gonna do the intimidation scene from Bad Boys?
That's one of my favorite scenes.
Waving a gun in his face.
Cinematic history.
Anyway, so well, we haven't said it yet, but Katie kind of reminds him, hey, we're good together, so they're gonna give it a shot. I don't know what his deal is, frankly. What's he doing? He's just freaking out.
She reminds him that, hey, just because we're on this doesn't mean we have to get engaged. Like she even said, I don't know if I want to spend the rest of my life with you, but I know I like you. And that's where we're at right now.
Do you think he misunderstood the expectation?
I think he did.
He's been on the show 3 times.
I don't know. You would think an old wily vet like himself would know that this isn't, it's not the, you don't even need to be in love right now.
No. Okay, remaining couples, and I want your engagement predictions or predictions for how they leave. Chris and Katie.
Well, you told me there's a black hand getting an engagement ring?
There is. a woman's hand.
So, I'm going to say not engaged.
I'm going to say not engaged also. And you want to know why?
There's another black hand getting an engaged rim.
Who? There's no other black women here.
Tayshia Rim. Do you see the coming up next?
Oh!
You see the coming up next?
I did. Don't watch that, AB. Here's conspiracy corner.
It was too good. They've got me. They hooked me right off the bat with the coming up next.
I think I paused the black hand getting the ring. Okay. And I said, whose hand is that? And I did it before John Paul Jones and Tayshia broke up. So I thought, okay, whose hand is that? Is that Tayshia's or is that Katie's? The guy's hand was young. It looked like John Paul Jones's hand. Then John Paul Jones leaves. So that leads me to believe they might have shot some B-roll.
Okay.
There are so few non-white people on the show, you can't show that. Yeah.
I was wondering that. Because
remember, they did that with Colton. They showed Colton with the engagement ring box.
Yeah.
And that never even aired on the show. So I'm with you. Not engaged. Demi and Christian.
Not engaged.
I think engaged.
Okay. Wow.
Clay and Nicole.
I would like to see it. I think that's that would be my number one couple I'd like to see engaged. But
well, they're the couple that
furthest
is
furthest along, yeah.
Closest in real life to would be engaged in yeah. real life if they weren't on the show.
Who's the next one?
Clay and Nicole.
Not engaged. And oh. broken up. Completely broken up.
Minus 10,000 that they would be engaged, betting odds. Yeah. Broken up for sure.
Broken up at the
broken up for sure, but back gonna, together in real life.
You think so? I was gonna say they're gonna have they're not gonna be on speaking terms at the reunion.
Flip my stance. I'm with you.
Okay.
Hannah and Dylan
engaged,
but they never get married. That's my opinion.
I could see that.
Okay. So Demi and Christian, amazingly, are the only couple that's, I think, probably going to get married off of this show. And she, one of half of those people is not from the show.
I'm not sold on Tayshia and John Paul Jones being done, to be honest. And, well, it's not just, it's not just because of what's coming up next. That's part of it, but it's not all of it. I didn't think they ended the whole thing with him picking him up and coming back. There was no conversation after it. I mean, it was just too weird for me. I need to see what these two are like in real life before I make my decision. I don't think they're done, though.
Mailbag 773-234-7794. The question this week was, what do you think of this season of Bachelor in Paradise? We asked that because we thought last night would have been the finale, and this would have been our last episode of the season.
They got us.
They got us again. This reminds me of, like, the end of the school year, all your assignments are done. But you have to go in for one last day and like help clean the fucking classroom. It's like, I didn't sign up for this. I already did my tests. What do you need me here for? And why am I bringing three boxes of Kleenex? This is bullshit, Ms. Jones. Aaron from Milwaukee. I've been watching Bachelor in Paradise since the first season, and I actually think this is one of the more forgettable seasons so far. The Blake stuff and some of the producers' things, the Matt and Sydney kiss montage, etc., are funny. But I'm not finding myself as invested in any of these couples, except maybe Katie and Chris, who are not getting enough screen time. Any reaction to that, AB?
It's surprising to me.
I kind of agree with not being that invested in the couples. I mean, the four couples remaining,
I can agree with that. With. Yeah. But have there been, I'm trying to think back on Bachelor in Paradise couples I've really, really cared about. And I don't know how many of those there have been. So I don't know. I don't necessarily fully agree, but I understand it.
Emily from Seattle. I thought this season was a mess.
Wow.
Which was a mix of incredible to watch, but also a bit of a letdown. I feel like all the people I wanted to see have a storyline earned no screen time whatsoever. Example, Mike and Kevin. I don't know if that's a typo, but she says here Kevin. But it was equally hilarious to watch Christina kick shins of boys who wronged her, to watch Dylan get his earned affections, and seeing Jordan fight what's-his-face was kind of a highlight for me as well. But on the same note, I wish there was more love. The dates people went on seemed like 20-second backstories. That's true. That was all season. The dates were really short.
The dates were bad. That's undeniable.
Terrible.
I'm just a messy guy, Remy. I like the messier the better on my screen.
It's interesting she brought up Jordan. I would have been invested in Jordan getting engaged again because was a big time off screen heartbreak.
Yeah, for sure.
Emily from Iowa City. This season has been incredibly entertaining, but I don't find myself as emotionally invested in any of the couples like I was in the past. Okay. In our stupid faces, here's a couple. I was rooting hard for Joe and Kendall.
Oh, man. How'd we forget about Joe and Kendall?
Kevin and Astrid.
Wow.
Okay, we just said they were our favorite.
Those are our favorite people. Those are our four favorite people.
And Jordan and Jenna, but this season, I don't really care if anyone stays
together. You're
right. Here's what's going to happen. Someone's going to text us after hearing that we don't like any Paradise couples. They're going to text the Rosebag
line.
We're
going to get a heaping pile of couples that we forgot about.
In the 2
about.
Minutes. No, they're going to say, what about Joe and Kendall, you and Kevin Ashton, you idiots? And then 2 minutes later, we're going to be like, oh, we're idiots.
Yeah, we're idiots.
Rebecca in Los
hate
Angeles.
This season. That made me hate this season.
What?
What they said here. That there's no couples. There's no good couples. Yeah. They're right. There's no good couples.
It was high on drama. It was low
We've
on...
We've turned my opinion on the whole season.
We're kind of wishy-washy on Paradise
moving
stuff.
Moving all over the place.
Rebecca in Los Angeles, while there was a lot of quality drama with Blake versus everyone, Kaylin and Dean, etc., and the very special moments with Demi speaking her truth, I have to admit, when it comes to singles on a beach, I have been completely ruined by Love Island UK. Love Island UK has amazing cast members, the editing is better, and they give the Islanders something to do. Would you say Love Island ruined Bachelor in Paradise for us?
No.
I wouldn't go that far, but it made me think of some things differently.
Absolutely, yeah.
Lastly, Kayla in Wisconsin. Best BIP season yet. I do feel that the communication and interactions between Bachelor Nation contestants before the season starts is a bit annoying. It felt more authentic back in the day when that did not happen. Back in the day is only like 3 years ago. That's how much this stuff changes.
Yep.
However, with that being said, it sure did create some interesting plot lines this year, i.e. Blake at Stagecoach. Thank you, Kayla. Thank you to everyone who wrote in. AB, do you have one for next week's mailbag?
Yes. I want to know... What?
Nothing.
What'd you say under your breath?
Just kind of doubt, doubting in my mind.
I want to know.
Kind of a Haley comment.
Yeah, it was unnecessary. Here's my question, Rim. Who have you had the biggest change of heart?
Oh, this is such a good question, AB.
Or opinion on since Bachelor in Paradise started.
God, wow, that's
a good question.
Professional question coming up with.
You didn't think that you, with all your under your breath comments, you didn't think that was coming, did you?
Take that back. Do you have a headline of the week?
No. Wait, yes, I do.
Okay. Ooh.
It was just something that made me laugh.
That's all it should be.
How are Blake and Christina after Bachelor in Paradise? Not on talking terms. I could have wrote that article in a sentence.
There's a lot of those SEO type articles that are like,
yeah,
what happened to Revian from Colton season? It's like no one searched that.
Nobody wants
but to
know.
They just have them all.
Nobody
ready to
is
go.
Wondering like, whoa, I wonder if these kids, Blake and Christina, are going to get back together after they get off Paradise. No, these two hate each other.
What's that from, maybe? Proper Attribution.
Refinery 29. I've gotten a couple things from them.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. That's the second to last episode of the season. We've got engagements next week and then the after the final rose, which looks juicy.
Juicy. Is it one episode? Is it two episodes? One episode?
One. It's only on Tuesday night.
Tuesday?
Nope. Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah. They're kind of throwing a curveball here.
Interesting.
It's only Tuesday. I expect an hour of engagement stuff and then an hour of after the final rose, which is all that after the final rose should be, frankly.
Absolutely.
Keep it focused. Unfortunately, there's going to be way too many people there. There's going to be like 45 people there, including Jordan and Christian, who are bound to get in a fight.
And the new Bachelor.
We will talk about that at length next week, so stay tuned. Thanks, everyone, for listening and writing in. We're on social media, at Roastcast Podcast. Everyone knows that. If you don't by now, you're missing out. And thanks for sharing this with your pals. We appreciate the word of mouth marketing, mostly because it's free. AB, do you have anything else to say?
No, you said it perfectly.
The free part? Yeah. Talk to you later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.